may Krishna be happy. They're just describing it's a dog-eat-dog world, so just let's eat each other, that's all. There's nothing more we can do. It is true, the miseries of material existence have been experienced birth after birth after birth after birth. And everyone's trying to become free from it. But very few people know how. Therefore, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuta nama dharmasya tatatma nam srijamyaham. Krishna descends in this world to tell us how to become happy. Every soul is seeking its constitutional inclination of eternal joy. Krishna explains, who are you? What is the purpose of your life? What is your natural position? Who am I? And what is our relationship? Krishna displayed his beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan just to give everyone in this world the opportunity to enter into his own supremely loving pastimes, to give all living beings the chance to go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used this word very frequently, to return to our spiritual home, back to Godhead. And his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, he traveled all over the world. He traveled to North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia, Africa, so many countries and cities within these nations, and he had the same message everywhere. Come back home, back to Godhead. Home doesn't mean India. Home doesn't mean America. So, Daksha, when he came back to consciousness, immediately, upon seeing Lord Shiva with respect, he became completely pure. By respecting a Vaishnava, the contaminations of our heart are eradicated. By offending a Vaishnava, we become full of much more envious and offenses. It never ends. So Daksha, upon seeing Lord Shiva, became very contaminated. And knowing what he did, how he spoke blasphemies against Shiva, how he was so harsh and cruel to his own daughter, Sati. He began to weep and cry. His body was trembling with repentance and guilt. He could not even speak. He was so choked up with emotion. He simply fell at the feet of Lord Shiva, begging forgiveness, begging for his mercy, causeless mercy. And Lord Shiva blessed him. Lord Shiva gave him. He gave him transcendental consciousness. If you approach a great soul in a humble state of mind, you are fit to receive their blessings. But if you approach with a proud state of mind, for whatever reason we're proud, we cannot receive their blessings. Then Lord Shiva, since the mustache of Bhrigu Muni was gone, he took the goat's mustache and put on Bhrigu Muni. And somehow he found eyes and teeth for the others. And all those souls in the whole yajna who were killed by all the fighting, they were all brought back to life. And whoever was injured in any way, their bodies became restored to perfect health. So ultimately, this whole pastime was just for the benefit of everyone involved, so that they all could become humble and honor a great Vaishnava. Om Namah Shivaya. Vansha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha adhikaram bhavanibhyo harishkave. here we are at this very sacred temple of Babunath. People come from
what is this? Because Krishna describes in Gita, Mamayavamso Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana. The soul is part and parcel of Krishna. We are one with Krishna in quality. But in quantity, we are only an infinitesimal particle of the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Acharyas give the example of the sun. The sun's emanating many, many sun rays. The sun ray is of the same quality of the sun. It gives off heat and light. But in quantity, the sun ray is only a particle of the sun. The sun ray is never the source of the sun. The sun is always the source of the sun ray. Similarly, our body has many parts. It is the natural function of every part of the body to serve the whole body. If any part of the body acts independent of the needs of the whole body, then it is a diseased condition. Sanatan Dharma explains that the eternal, inseparable nature of every living being is to serve God. And what is the result of such service? The ultimate fulfillment of everyone's heart's desires. The fundamental need of every living entity is to love and to be loved. Without that love, there can be no real fulfillment in life. Even if one earns millions of crores of rupees, conquers the entire planet, even if one is young, healthy, famous, if one does not feel loved and one is not able to truly express love, then the heart is in a starving, impoverished condition. This is the greatest need on the planet today. It's not that only poor people are suffering. Wealthy people are suffering at least as much because they are starving within. The only thing that could nourish the needs of the heart is perfect love. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Kuriya Yudoi. That perfect love is dormant within us, but it is forgotten. Maya is the illusory energy which causes us to forget our real relationship with God. Maya causes us to fall under the illusory conception that I am this body, that I am the enjoyer of this body, and that my enjoyment will come through lording it over or predominating over material nature. This is the root cause of all problems in this world. Why some people have so much and some people have so little? Because of this greed, this desire to predominate over the resources of nature. It's a serious problem. People are talking every day about the economy. There's great fear that any time economies can collapse. Today, everyone is looking toward the United States of America for prosperity. But my own father and mother, in their generation, the entire America was in terrible poverty. There was a depression. My father was working for 12 cents a week. had to leave school. Every person in their family had to leave school just to get some bread on the table to eat. That was the entire nation of America. And that was just about 60 years ago, 65 years ago. Because one day the stock market crashed and nobody had anything. And the banks, whatever you had money in the banks didn't have a penny to give you. It can happen to anyone at any time. There was a professor of economy from a university in America who told me, according to the textbooks that he studied, the fundamental problem with economics, that every single consumer in the world has unlimited desires to enjoy material nature. And material nature only has limited resources to provide. So that causes a problem. Everyone wants unlimited power to enjoy, and there's only unlimited resources to enjoy. So therefore we find there is problem between the various castes, the rich and the poor. There is robbing, there is stealing, there is hatred. There is so much competition. And ultimately fighting over the land, because land provides resources. But there's always wars. Srila Prabhupada explained, after the First World War, they made the League of Nations to create peace. But then there was a Second World War. That didn't work, so they started the United Nations to create peace. And just after that, there was a Korean War, there was a Vietnam War, wars between Pakistan and India, wars in the Middle East, wars all over the world. And today, so many nations have created not only great armaments, but even the nuclear bombs. What is the reason for all this conflict? We all want to be proprietor. We all want to be enjoyer, individually and collectively. There's no common purpose of life that we can actually agree on. We talk about universal brotherhood, but unless we accept a universal father, how can we be brothers and sisters? Therefore, Krishna tells us in Gita, the peace formula, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokameheshwaram suhradam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimrechchati. That one who understands that Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, he is the proprietor of everything that exists. He is the object of everyone's sacrifices. And he is the true well-wishing friend of all living entities. Such a person can attain real peace. Why? Because that's the nature of the soul. To know God, to love God, to serve God selflessly. One who loves Krishna acquires godly qualities. Actually, it is the nature of the soul to have godly qualities. A real devotee is forgiving, compassionate, equal to everyone, intoxicated with ecstatic love for God and for every living entity, because such a soul sees part of God in everyone. Gita tells us, Vidyavanaya sampani brahmani gavihastini suni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshanaha. A self-realized soul sees the Brahman, the elephant, the cow, the dog, and even the chandala with equal vision. Because he sees within the heart is part of God, my beloved. This is the only real need within this world. There is only one God. People are fighting over different names of God. But the Lord reveals himself in various quantitative proportions at different times according to the place and circumstance. In India, we call the sun Surya. In Spain, Sol. In English, sun. But it's the same sphere of light. Just different names according to different cultures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. Tatrabhitanyamita smarane nakala. That my dear Lord, you have many, many names, but in each and every one of you have invested with your divine transcendental potencies. So only an ignorant person fights over various names of God. One wonderful Vaishnav once said that if a dog has a master, sometimes the master comes home with one type of dress, business dress. Sometimes the dog sees the master in his going to bed dress. Sometimes the dog sees the master in his religious dress. But he recognizes his master and honors him. If we cannot recognize our God when he appears in different forms, in different religions, at different times, that means we are lower than a dog in our relationship with God. Where there is actual spiritual realization, there is love, there is compassion for everyone. There is the desire to enlighten everyone, not with terrorism and hatred, but with love and compassion. We see these terrorists, how they attack New York City. Just ruthlessly killing thousands of innocent people with this ego that our God is better than yours. Our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, he also went to New York City. He also, but he wanted to enlighten people with love of God, not just egoistically prove my God is better than yours. So he approached people who were atheists, prostitutes, drug addicts, alcoholics, meat eaters. People who were utterly uncivilized by all Brahminical Vedic terms. However, Srila Prabhupada, he loved them. He loved them like a father. It was Krishna, or God's love, that flowed through him with compassion. Tears of love for the fallen souls flowed from his eyes. And he painstakingly served them in order to somehow or other administer to them the medicine that will bring them to real spiritual health. Srila Prabhupada would walk down Fifth Avenue in New York City, one of the most prominent, wealthy streets in the entire planet Earth. Multi-million dollar skyscrapers with multi-billion dollar corporations. The most affluent country in the world. Srila Prabhupada was living in the Bowery, a ghetto. All he had was a box of books that he wanted to distribute and a little bag of cereal and no money and no friends. But when he was walking down Fifth Avenue, he wasn't thinking,
when will I become wealthy and have a nice bungalow here?
He was seeing all of these people wasting their precious human forms of life endeavoring for material prosperity, not understanding that the real treasure of Krishna prema, love of God within the heart, is the only wealth that can actually bring real satisfaction. It is ultimately the only real wealth that exists. Everything else is illusory. He felt compassion for these people. He didn't feel envy toward these people. He maintained the highest, strictest, purest spiritual standards in his own life. But he was the very embodiment of forgiveness, generosity, compassion, motherly, fatherly, friendly love for anybody he came in contact with. He saw the spark of bhakti in everyone's heart that needed to be fanned. And if you fan that spark of bhakti, it creates a blazing fire and burns to ashes all illusion and misconception. And all that remains is pure, unalloyed love of God.
Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma koteshvapi mahamune.
Srimad Bhagavatam explains that out of thousands and thousands of people who have achieved mukti through the process of jnana, actually salvation of material suffering, and out of thousands of yogis who have attained mystic cities, where you can produce ashes, you could produce gold, you could read people's mind, you could cure people's diseases, you could transport yourself to different planets, you can create, you can destroy. These are the mystic cities. Out of people who have attained not only great wealth in this world, but even have attained the incredible wealth of the heavenly planets, not a single one of them can actually be peaceful, because they all have selfish motivations. Mystic cities, impersonal liberation, heavenly wealth, they are all artificial impositions, unnatural to the soul. The soul's nature is to love God and to express that love in everything we do, everything we say, and every thought.
Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktirad hokshaje.
The supreme occupation for all humanity is unmotivated, uninterrupted love of God.
Therefore, it is explained by Bhagavatam
that only a pure devotee who has awakened his or her natural love of God can actually find real peace and fulfillment in life. No one else. Srila Prabhupada not only had this knowledge, but he had this realization. So today, there are people who are rejecting religion on the basis of all this horrible violence and hatred in the name of God. But it has nothing to do with God. Guru Maharaj would say, the fact that there's counterfeit money means there's real money somewhere. The fact that there's bogus, false religion, which is inspiring hatred, bigotry, envy, violence, and infatuated ego, means there's some real religion somewhere. And that real religion creates forgiveness, tolerance, compassion, and love. An inner fulfillment.
Apurya nama chalat.
Bhagavad Gita describes one who actually knows God. His happiness is like a vast, unlimited ocean. He's not disturbed by the various dualities of this material existence. This is the greatest need of human society. Srila Prabhupada told us that so many Indians are going to the Western world to try to get something from them, to try to earn wealth and bring it home to India. Srila Prabhupada's mission was just the opposite. I have come with the unlimited wealth of India to distribute in the West. And from the material point of view, in 1965, this didn't make sense. Because he had nothing, materially. But yet, young men and women from multi-millionaire families even, they came rushing to receive the wealth that he had. His Holiness Srila Giriraj Swami Maharaj, who lived here in Bombay with you for so many years serving Srila Prabhupada, he's coming from a family of multimillionaires. But he understood that Srila Prabhupada, who was then just sitting on the floor with a little box in front of him writing his books, didn't even have a desk, didn't even have a residence. Giriraj Maharaj was thinking, this man has the wealth that I want, the wealth that will actually bring real fulfillment, real peace, and real meaning to life. He surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. And when his father and mother came and offered him millions of dollars to come home, he explained that I have achieved a wealth that money cannot compare to. The wealth of service to a true devotee of the Lord. The wealth of loving God. So yes, today people are rejecting religion because they do not understand what real religion is. If you are not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. It is every human being's first and foremost responsibility, atato brahma jigyasa, to understand what is the real purpose of life and to achieve it. Without this knowledge and realization of the eternal nature of the soul and the awakening of the godly qualities within us, there is no question of peace within our own heart. And what is the condition of the world? It is simply an expression of the condition within people's minds. Some years ago, I met the Minister of the Environment for the country of India. And this person challenged me. What are you Hare Krishnas doing for the environment? How are you helping to cleanse the ecology? So I replied, when you're challenged, you have to reply. Why are the waters so filthy, dirty, and polluted? Why is the air polluted? Why is the ground being polluted with all kinds of waste? It's because man's minds are polluted. We are making the world an expression of what's in our own mind. If your mind is pure, you will purify the world. If your mind is polluted, you will pollute the world. And that is a fact. Because of so much greed, greed, envy, pride, lust, anger, because of these pollutions in the heart, we're creating hell on earth. Even if you clean all your oceans and all your air and all your earth, if you don't clean people's hearts, they're just going to make it as filthy as it was before and more. Without a change of hearts, there is no permanent solution to any problem on this planet. Therefore, our Guru Maharaj, in the line of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has come to teach how to create a purified ecology within one's consciousness. and to spread that throughout the world. How to actually find real peace, love, and purity within oneself and then share that with the world. Harinama, Harinama, Harinam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatirandyata. There is only one process that can fully fulfill this need in this age of Kali. And that is awakening our love of Krishna through the chanting of the holy names. Because the name of God is none different than Krishna himself. The name is all pure. By associating with the name, by attentively hearing and chanting, we become purified. Our aspiration should be to serve, not to exploit. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful story about Dhruva Maharaj. We know the story how he was very severely insulted by his stepmother, Suruchi. So he went to the forest on the inspiration of his mother to seek out Lord Narayan. Because his mother told him, Lord Narayan can fulfill all your desires. He was so insulted as a Kshatriya, he wanted revenge. My stepmother would not allow me to sit on the throne with my father. Therefore, I want a kingdom greater than my father, who's the king of the earth. Greater than my grandfather, Svayambhuva Manu, who's the king of mankind. I want a kingdom greater than my great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, who's the king of Brahma Loka, the topmost material planet in existence. Narada Muni taught him, you chant the name of God. Fix your mind in the form of the Lord within your heart. He went to Vrindavan on the bank of the Jamuna in the forest of Madhuban and performed his tapasya. Within a matter of only about 5 months, he became so purified by hearing and chanting the Lord's names and remembering the Lord within his heart that the Lord manifested himself right before Dhruva's eyes. When Dhruva Maharaj saw Lord Vishnu, he became filled with ecstatic bliss. His heart was completely cleansed of all egoistic, selfish aspirations in life. He simply wanted to serve the Lord. He was only 5 years old. He wanted to praise the Lord. He wanted to express his love. But as a five-year-old child, he was not educated to be able to do what he wanted. Everything is based on our desire. There is no limitation if our desire is sincere, because Krishna has the power to purify us. Little Dhruva Maharaj simply desired to glorify Krishna. So Krishna put his conch shell on Dhruva's head and he began to compose and recite the most beautiful Sanskrit poetry, which includes all philosophy, logic, on the authority of all the scriptures. And this little five-year-old child's prayers are still, millions of years later, worshipped and sung by the greatest Paramhamsas, philosophers, and scholars. The Lord was so pleased with him. He said, I knew. I am seated in everyone's heart. I know everyone's desires since time immemorial. I will give you residence in the pole star, Dhruva Loka. The pole star is a spiritual planet within this world that even Lord Brahma has no access to. In doing so, he gave him a kingdom greater than Brahma, his great-grandfather. And then he said, and for the next 36,000 years, this was in the Satya Yuga, you can rule the entire earth after your father, Uttanapada, goes to the forest. Unrivaled kingdom. He gave him rule over the entire earth planet, over all humanity. Everything he wanted in this material world, the wealth, the power, the fame of the king of the world. And he told him, you will never get old. You will never lose your energy and your youthfulness. You'll never get sick. Such a benediction. And after you finish your 36,000 years of ruling this earth, you'll go to Dhruvaloka and be the king there. Spiritual planet within this universe. And at the end of the universe, you will go back home, back to Godhead, to live with me eternally. So Dhruva Maharaj was given the best of both worlds. He was given pure ecstatic love of God, the Purushartha Shiromani, the crest jewel of all realizations. And he was given youth, power, wealth, everything of this world. And then he sent Dhruva home. And you know what Bhagavatam explains? Dhruva Maharaj felt very unhappy in his heart. If you got all that, would you be unhappy? He was unhappy because he became a pure devotee. He was thinking. He actually explained to Lord Narayan that I was looking for the broken pieces of glass of the wealth, the power, and the enjoyments of this world, but I have achieved the rare diamond of your darshan, my Lord. He was thinking when he was going home, I'm such a fallen person. Why did I want to approach the Lord for materialistic things? And the Lord, so kind, he gave me those benedictions. He only wanted pure devotional service. He only wanted to be the servant of the servant of the Lord. Because when he received the treasure of love of God, he understood that nothing else has any real value. Everything else is temporary. It is illusory. But how practical the process of bhakti is. The Lord sent him to be the king and rule the entire citizenship in God consciousness. This is yukta vairagya. Real bhakti doesn't mean to renounce something that can be used in God's service. The power of bhakti is so great, even if you are a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a child, sannyasi or brahmachari, whether you're Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra by caste designations, whether you're an engineer, a doctor, a businessman, an industrialist, a teacher, a student, a farmer, a politician, whatever our natural occupational duties may be, even if we're living in a small little hut or under a tree or we're living in a big mansion, none of these things are disqualifications for spiritual life. If we are sincere, if we're striving to purify our hearts by chanting the holy names, by associating with holy people, by hearing the glories of the Lord, then we express that natural love that's awakening within our heart through our daily life. Srila Prabhupada would often explain to the citizens of Bombay, you don't have to live in the temple and be a brahmachari. You could live at home and make your life perfect by learning the art. People are talking these days about the art of living. The art of living is to be selfless, to be an instrument of God's compassion in whatever field of life you may be. And it is not something impossible. Prabhupada used to say, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Everything is possible by the grace of God. We simply need to have that desire, that aspiration. What are we living for? To accumulate so much and then to die and then to leave it to others. And then they'll probably fight over it and plunder it. Is that the purpose of life? The everlasting treasure of love of God is within us. To realize that, to experience that, and to share that with the world through everything we do. If we're mother and father, our prime duty is to share that treasure of love of God with our children. To share it with the world. In every aspect of our life. Then everything we do, everything we speak, everything we think brings us closer to God. Gives real meaning and bliss. That is what is available for every human being. And it is for this reason that the Lord descends into this world again and again and again. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Why does he descend in this world? To give us this gift of love of God, to show us the way. Why should we be stubborn? Why should we waste our time? Why should we put off the greatest necessity of life till tomorrow? Today is the day that we should, with firm determination, take shelter of the process of purification and do something wonderful for our families, for the world, and for ourselves. This is the Yuga Dharma. Chanting the name of God, purifying our heart, and sharing that great gift within you with the world. That is the greatest deed. To the degree you are doing that in your life, you are actually generating real peace. And to the degree we are neglecting that, whether we're in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, we're only perpetuating within our own life and transmitting within the environment further illusion. And that illusion is the cause of all quarrel and suffering. Bajahure mana sri nandanandana abhayat sharanada vindare. My dear mind, please worship Sri Nandanandana Krishna. Only by taking shelter of his lotus feet can we achieve real fearlessness, real happiness. Durlabha manava janama sansange taraha ebavo sindare. This human birth is so rare. It's specifically and exclusively designed to know God and to love God. That's possible in the association of saintly people. And what is happening in the association of saintly people? Everyone is encouraging one another, serving one another, and chanting God's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Jagannath Rath Yatra is the day when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes into the streets to attract everyone's hearts. And the devotees who are his associates, they're in the streets by the hundreds or by the thousands, trying to purify the entire creation and attract everyone's hearts through the chanting of God's names. That is the purpose of Rath Yatra. Srila Prabhupada explained in the In the Shastras, Ratha Yatra represents the residents of Vrindavan bringing Krishna back home to Vrindavan from Kurukshetra. But he described our meditation should be to bring Krishna back into our hearts. That is our real home. And the unlimited loving embrace of Krishna. That is what Srila Prabhupada sacrificed his life to give us. So please, on behalf of his divine grace, we plead with you, we beg you, whether you are guests or visitors or life members or devotees, we have to dive very, very deeply into the true meaning and purpose of life. We don't have time to quarrel over petty, useless issues. Without purifying our own hearts, our whole life is a waste. Without preaching this message as a selfless service, we really do nothing for our loved ones or for society of any eternal benefit. Srila Prabhupada, his repeated request was, please take this great gift of Krishna consciousness very seriously. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And let us create a real culture of peace. Substantial. Peace that transcends death itself. The need of the soul is not peace. The need of the soul is ananda, ecstasy, that comes through love. Peace is automatically included where there is ecstatic, unlimited love. That is the goal of chanting Hare Krishna. And that is the goal of this wonderful Ratha Yatra festival that Srila Prabhupada has brought to Bombay, to give this gift to everyone. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.